ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Come on, Marlon.
What an over from Shane Warne.
Grab some people. They grab some more people. F*** you, Marlon.
That's the sound of Melbourne Stars spinner and Australian legend Shane Warne clashing with Melbourne Renegades batsman Marlon Samuels in front of a packed MCG. Doesn't it take you back? For 15 seasons of Big Bash League. The Melbourne rivalry was something Australian cricket sought to foster. After all, the city's the sporting capital of the world. A heated rivalry was key. During one promotional campaign, the teams implored cricket fans, pick a side, red or green, get tribal, people. This week we learn Cricket Victoria is trying to merge these two bitter rivals with the hope of uniting these fans and leaving a blank licence which they can sell to overseas investment. If this seems a little out of nowhere and a bit wild, it kind of is. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Gideon Haig is a cricket writer with Cricket et al. A caveat, the proposal we're talking about today is a subject to Cricket Australia approval as well as the Players Association. But let's get into it, Gideon. This week we've seen the news that Cricket Victoria boss Nick Cummins is proposing to merge the state's BBL teams. Why? So that it can sell a vacant licence to another entity because they're struggling to make the ends meet financially. What was your reaction to this development?
Well, initially just confusion because there was no actual announcement. What happened was the news initially leaked out via staff after they were told that at a town hall, and bits of it were reported here and bits of it were reported there. And I still don't think we've actually got a blueprint for what it looks like. Nick Cummins, the CEO of Cricket Victoria, has been briefing everyone individually. So you really have to read everything that's been written in order to wrap your mind around what's going on. And even then, you know, everything is, as you say, subject to conditions and various checks. So it seems very dramatic. It almost seems like, you know, a bit of a trial balloon, as it were, asking for a response.
The funny thing I found about this merger in some ways is it's staged. You know, staff and brands unite. Players theoretically stay at the Renegades.
Yes.
You know, if contracted, let's be honest, contracts in the BBL somewhat fluid.
Yeah.
They'll likely play one more year at the Gades.
If it went down the path that the owners weren't in place for this summer, we'd likely have that team play under the Renegades brand for one more year. That's not our ideal outcome. That creates some confusion for fans, but we'll work through that over the next few months, and that'll become clearer as to what it's going to look like this summer.
What a tough assignment for a player to have a kind of season incoming at a ghost team. What's your sense of how the players are going to cope?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, a few months ago, you know, if you're a player, you thought privatisation was just a great idea because it just looked like pay rises all around. All the upside. Well, you know, welcome to capitalism, guys. You know, this is creative destruction, and you're right in the middle of it.
What I find curious about this idea from Cricket Victoria is that both sets of supporters theoretically automatically fall in line under a new franchise after 15, 16 years.
We did consider whether we retained the Stars name, but ultimately we were conscious of Renegades fans and the fact that Renegades fans have spent the last 15 years hating the Stars, and it would be unlikely that they would come and now follow the Stars. So we have decided to go back to our roots. We're working on the brand at the moment, but it'll be strongly aligned to Cricket Victoria.
If you're really passionate about the Stars or the Renegades, are you really going to love this new entity?
Yeah, it was a bit patronising, I thought, to the idea that Victorians will simply shift allegiance to whatever flag Cricket Victoria runs up the pole because, you know, for 15 years we've trained Renegades and Stars fans to hate each other. I mean, that's just dopey. No one hated anyone. People don't hate in cricket. The derby actually added interest to the competition between the two sides, but the derby wasn't the problem with the Renegades. That was probably the one thing that worked about them.
Right on 94, brings up the 100 with a six.
He's pumped as well. Full toss, a bonus for him. And he come into this game needing runs, and he has delivered a big 100 in front of 80,000 people here at the MCG.
I wonder where the mace is going to go in all this, but I digress. I mean, Cummins says they've had interest from all over the world. I guess the upside for an investor is a new license. You can theoretically get 100% ownership, not the 49% that was there under the previous proposal from Cricket Australia. The downside, Cricket Victoria is trying to make it so that they take every available fan. That's what they're out there publicly saying.
Yeah.
Is that an attractive proposition if you're trying to buy a cricket team?
Yeah, well, this is the problem, isn't it, with this sort of piecemeal self-determination model that Cricket Australia is now rolling out for privatisation. I mean, really, to maximise value, you need to offer all the potential new owners the opportunity to start from scratch. You know, they're going to want a player auction. They're going to want to bid for the best. They don't want to be walking in to the middle of a competition where the majority of players are already committed either to franchises or involved in test matches. That's just a formula for fragmentation and value minimisation.
Speaking to someone inside Cricket Victoria yesterday, they kind of explained to me that this process had been in the works somewhat of trying to interact with what Cricket Australia was proposal. They were trying to read the play ahead of time to get themselves set up for this new world order. They got ahead of themselves. Is it rogue to move so far ahead of time if you're Cricket Victoria?
Well, it looks bizarre to the public, you know, because it hasn't come at the end of a period of speculation about the future of these franchises. It's come from nowhere. You know, only a few weeks ago, Nick Cummins, the CEO of Cricket Victoria, was demanding that the Stars and the Renegades be considered to play in the Chennai game that's mooted as the prize opener for the next BBL. From that point of view, it looks panicky. It looks destructive, at least initially destructive of value, with the possibility of an indeterminate payoff at an unspecified future date.
Speaking of the word panicky, you'd sense that this is going to send a bit of panic through cricket in this country. Surely other states are going to think, hey, if they're chasing the private capital, maybe I should be. I heard murmurs of another franchise now, thinking about it yesterday. It's quite confusing when the original attempt at private investment pursued by Cricket Australia was kind of put on hold by CA in the face of pushback from states like New South Wales, Queensland, and to a lesser extent, South Australia. Do you feel like the horse is now bolting? This is happening anyway, and we've lost any semblance of control?
Well, we've certainly lost... we've certainly got a confusion of messages. You know, Todd Greenberg from Cricket Australia has gone around for the last sort of 6 to 9 months saying, you know, this is momentous. This is huge. You know, this is a massive change to cricket. You know, we really, really need to think about this.
I'm a realist. Probably wasn't hard to figure out that might be the end point, but that's where we find ourselves, and we're trying to find a path forward that will appease and also is the right decision for the future of Australian cricket. That's not an easy balance to find.
But we also now have this conflicting message that we've got to act now. We've got to act now because the money's going to run out. It's a little bit like, I don't know, the messaging around The Voice, which was the idea that, you know, this was, on one hand, this was going to be momentous and represented a huge change. And then in the next breath, you were said, but there's nothing for you to worry about. It's really a sort of a minor bureaucratic process. So we can't sort of get our sort of story straight on what privatisation entails. And it's possible that this is actually going to arrest the process of privatisation in the sense that in times of instability, people do tend to default to the status quo.
So you wouldn't expect other states to now be sort of having their ears prick up and think, hey, we've got to get to market. There's competition out there.
Sure, they'll think about it, but they've been thinking about it for the last year, probably for longer. And the idea that you now have to do it by 26-27, which is what Cricket Victoria is proposing, well, I don't think anyone's got that as a potential future date. Cricket hastens slowly in general. I hope that it doesn't act impetuously. And the partial privatisation is going to leave the game looking like it's straddling a very uncomfortable fence.
Some might argue this episode kind of justifies Cricket Australia's belief that by controlling the process from a centralised position in their original proposal, we as a game in this country would have had more control, and that by not taking that route, cricket in this country has lost that control. Do you think that argument carries water?
Yeah, for sure, but they couldn't do it. But they actually couldn't bring that process about. So their fallback has left them in a position where it's just looking incoherent. The proposition, for instance, that we need to revive the Bush Rangers name, because what people really want to support is a Victorian team.
The team that was losing their identity would be able to move across to a brand that has heritage. And as I said, once we launch that brand, it'll be clear that it will link very strongly to Victorian cricket, and that they will feel that that's something that they can be passionate about.
It was a critical insight of Lalit Modi's in 2008 that the world, and therefore cricket, is urban, not regional and provision. It's only slightly less bonkers than saying all 10 Victorian AFL teams should merge, because what really matters is Victoria. The IPL broke that mould, but we're not going back. And I find it curious that Cricket Victoria has all of a sudden rediscovered Victoria when they've paid almost no attention to cricket outside the metropolitan area in the last 10 years, and that the cricket outside Melbourne is in a really sorry state.
Melbourne is notoriously the sporting capital of the universe. What does it say about the game that we're struggling to make two teams viable financially in the capital of the capital?
Well, at some point you do got to question the capability of Cricket Victoria. If you cannot make two T20 teams work in a city that can get 100,000 people to a day of Test cricket, that can support 10 AFL teams, that can support 3 football codes, that has the biggest sporting arena in Australia, and you can't get 2 franchises to work, you cannot service 2 T20 club teams, then how good are you at your job?
Gideon Haigh, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Headlines. Game 1 of the NBA playoffs has been won by the New York Knicks thanks to a brilliant performance from who else? Captain Clutch. Jalen Brunson scoring 30 points on the road to quiet a rowdy San Antonio crowd. The Knicks victorious 105-95, and the Spurs will want to bounce back in Game 2 because after that, they've got to head to Madison Square Garden for Game 3, which is never easy. Roland Garros continues to throw up surprises, this time in the women's draw. World number one Aryna Sabalenka is out of the tournament at the quarterfinal stage, beaten by Russian Diana Schneider. The top seed was up a set and 4-1 in the second before her opponent flicked the switch, winning the next 2 sets, 7-5, 6-love. Sabalenka was not pleased with her performance.
No thoughts, no emotions. Just want to quit tennis right now, but we'll see. We'll see in a few days. Hopefully I'll get back on track mentally.
Staying in the women's, Mira Andreeva is the only top 10 seed remaining. In the men's, it's just Flavio Cabolli and Alexander Zverev. Crazy times. As James Hurd continues to build his case for a return as Essendon coach, the interim boss at the Bombers is just trying to focus on the job at hand. Dean Solomon was asked about reports that he could be part of a Hurd-led all-star coaching team in 2027. Here was his response.
First I heard of it was yesterday when someone told me the footy club. So haven't spoken to Hurdy about football at all. So that's the first thing I've heard of it.
The Bombers play Carlton Sunday night. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Fox Sports and Channel 10 for the extra audio used in this episode.